Henry, we could start. Okay. So, what I hope is an interesting topic and an interesting share this morning. This week, obviously, everybody talks about Parah Aduma. We talked about it last year. But behind Parah Aduma is the idea of Tumah, is the idea of Tumas Meis. If you touch a dead body, you become Tameh. Okay, great. This is a fact that we know. It's no chiddush. What's shocking, and what I want to spend most of our time on today, is the fact that this appears in the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvos as a mitzvah aseh. Now, we are used to thinking from the youngest age, really, that mitzvot aseh are things you have to do. Now, even there, we know that there are categories, right? We normally think of mitzvos as actions. You know, you have to daven, you have to wear tefillin, you have to say shema, you have to blow shofar, you have to eat matzah, you have to write a sefer Torah. Well, you know, that's how we normally think of mitzvot aseh, and of course that's true. We're also vaguely aware that there are mitzvot aseh that have nothing to do with actions. Their belief in God, loving God, fearing God, v'ahavta l'recha kamocha, ahavas hager, lo sisna sachicha bilvavecha, a whole category, which we don't focus on that much, but a category of mitzvos that I would call, you know, belief slash feelings. There's another category of mitzvos that are conditional. We talk about this from time to time, right? If you have a house, you have to put up a mezuzah. If you have a porch, you have to put up a railing. Under, you know, if you live at a particular time, you have to build a Beis HaMikdash. If somebody asks you for money, you have to give tzedakah. They are mitzvot aseh, but they're triggered by some action. Okay, that's another category. But it turns out, or at least, let's put it this way, a mitzvot aseh that if you touch a mace, your tameh doesn't fit into any category that we're familiar with. And that's really what I want to focus on today, because I think there's another category, and it's subject to a major machlokas, but there's another category, particularly in the Rambam, of mitzvot aseis that have nothing to do with actions, refraining from acting, you know, conditional mitzvot, belief, feelings, nothing to do with the categories that we're generally familiar with. Okay. Shimmy, if you don't mute yourself, we could get you germs.
Got it.
Okay. So let's start, if I have it here, which I should, because I prepared. Let's start with the psukim in this week's parsha, and we'll see what we find. Okay, says the Torah towards the beginning of the parsha, in the parsha of Parah Aduma, first pasuk Yud Aleph, Hanogea b'meit l'chol nefesh adam v'tamei shivat yamim. That's a statement, although in the Rambam, that's a mitzvah. If you touch a human corpse, you are tamei for 7 days. Now, what do you do if you're tamei? Hu yitchata bo bayom hashlishi uvayom hashvi'i yitar. You have to get sprinkled on the third and seventh day, and then you can become tahor. Ve'im lo yitchata bayom hashlishi uvayom hashvi'i lo yitar. Okay? It's a value-neutral statement, and this is in fact the halacha. There's nothing wrong with being tameh. It's not a prohibition. Says the Torah, if you get sprinkled with afar parah aduma on the third day and the seventh day, you will become tahor. If you don't, you won't. Yud Gimel, kol hanogea b'meit b'nefesh ha'adam asher yamut v'lo yitchata. Uh-oh, now we get in trouble. If you touch a corpse and you don't go through the process of tahara, et mishkan Hashem timei, you have, you know, impurified the Beis HaMikdash, v'nichrasa nefesh ha'im Yisrael, and you get kares, ki mei nida lo zorak olav, because you didn't have afar parah aduma sprinkled on you, tamei yihyeh od tumato bo, you'll be tamei, your tuma is still on you. So the simple reading of the pasuk is, if you did not become tahor after contact with a corpse, then you're mitame the mishkan, That can't be. And Chazal point out, and Rashi quotes it on this pasuk. No, it doesn't mean that. It means there are implications. If you're Tamei Mase and you go into the Beis HaMikdash, then you've been Mitame the Beis HaMikdash and you're Chayav Kares. But if you don't want to go to the Beis HaMikdash, you don't have to become Tahor. It's just a fact. If you're Tamei, you can't go to the Beis HaMikdash. And if you do, if you go to the Beis HaMikdash while you're Tamei, you're Chayav Kares because you were Mitame the Beis HaMikdash. You're Dalit. A different halacha, although it's the same one. Zos HaTorah Adam Ki Amus Ba'ohel. If there's a corpse in a tent, we'll say in an enclosed area. Kol HaBoel HaOel V'chol Asher Ba'ohel Yitma Shivat Yamim. Okay? Very simple. The first Yud Aleph said, if you touch a corpse, you become Tameh for 7 days. Yud Dalet says, if you're in an enclosed area with a corpse, you become Tameh for 7 days. It's the same exact fact. There are two ways to get there. One, by touching a corpse. The second, by being in an enclosed area with a corpse, but same halacha for both, 7 days of Tumah. Similarly, says the Torah, V'chol kli patuach asher ein samid patil alav tamehu, if there's an open vessel in that tent, in that enclosed area with a corpse, that vessel becomes tameh, last piece. V'chol asher yiga al pnei asadeh b'chal al cherev o b'meit o b'etzam adam o b'kaver, anybody who's not in the tent but has contact in an open field with the corpse, with a bone of the corpse, or b'chal al cherev, literally the sword that killed the person, yitma shivat yamim. Okay, so that's a chiddush which we're not going to talk about. There's a chiddush called chalal cheref. Normally, tuma works on steps down, right? The thing itself is tamei. Something that touches it is a reduced level of tuma that cannot then be mitame something else. A chiddush is if the murder weapon, or in this case, the sword that killed the person, if you touch the sword that kills the person, it has the same level of tuma as if you touch the corpse. Okay? Those are details. But what we find in the psukim are simply this. If you touch a corpse or you're in a tent with a corpse, you become tame for 7 days. That, again, none of us would imagine that that constitutes any kind of mitzvah. But here it is. Source number two. The Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvos, Mitzvah Taseh Kuv Zayin, 107, says, V'hamitzvah HaKuv Zayin, Hishet Sivano Al Tumat Meit. We are commanded about the mitzvah of Tumat Meit. U'mitzvah zo kolelet kol mishpitei Tumat Meis. And the mitzvah of Tumat Meis includes within it all the details. Okay? There's really not a lot to go on here. What we have and what surprises people is that the Rambam says one of the mitzvot aseis is tumat meis. Now again, as we'll see, there's no mitzvah. Somebody's thinking right now, well, isn't there a mitzvah if nobody takes care of a dead body to take care of the dead body? Yes, that's called a mitzvah of meis mitzvah. That's not what the Rambam is talking about here. The Rambam simply categorizes the fact that if you touch a mace, you become tameh as a mitzvah. Okay, so we're stumped by what does this mean? Now, a lot of people suggest the following. A lot of people suggest that what the Rambam must mean is, no, it's not the mitzvah that if you touch a dead body, you become tameh. That's not a mitzvah. He must be referring to the process by which you become tahor. Right, the whole description in this week's parsha at the beginning of the process of para aduma and create, you know, getting the ashes and sprinkling it on a person, that must be what the Rambam means. But that's definitively not true. Why? Because we just read mitzvah kuf zayin. The Rambam in the next mitzvah kuf ches says as follows. Source number three, v'ha mitzvah kuf chet. He haTorah shehoronu b'mishpitei meinida sheyitaharu b'inyan echad v'yitamu b'inyan acher. Says the Rama, mitzvah number 108 is the process of para aduma, of meinida, which as we know, under certain, you know, it is mitaher Tameim, and it's Mitame Tahorim. It has like this opposite effect. But it's clear, at least to me, that if the Rambam devotes Mitzvah 108 to the process of Para Aduma, that can't be the focus of 107 of the Mitzvah Shetzivanu Al Tumat Meis. There must be something else going on. So the answer is, of course, there is something else going on. The Rambam has a unique view of how mitzvos work. And we'll see it inside in a second, but just so we don't leave it there, it must be the case according to the Rambam, and we'll try to formulate this more strongly because it's a really important point. It must be the case according to the Rambam that there's a mitzvah that we would call if X, then Y. Okay, how would that work? I'm walking along the street and I'm tahar. Okay, what's the mitzvah? It's not a mitzvah, it's a fact. If I touch a corpse, I become tamei. That's kind of a chiddush haTorah. The Torah comes and makes up a halachic fact, and the Rambam says, I count halachic facts. Okay, it's not completely satisfying yet, but hopefully people understand at least at this level what the Rambam's theory is. The Rambam's theory would be that when the Torah makes up a halacha, because it doesn't correspond to anything in nature, doesn't correspond to anything physical, when the Torah tells you a chiddush that doesn't correspond to any fact, that chiddush gets counted as a mitzvah. Not because we're obligated to do it or prohibited from doing it, but because it's something new that the Torah taught us about the world. And the Rambam thinks we count those things as mitzvos. Okay, we'll come back to this because it's obviously significant and it's the thing I want to spend the most time on today. But let's take a break from the question about Sefer HaMitzvos just to look at another fascinating thing in the Rambam, which I don't know that I understand completely, but I feel like I'll raise it. People will have ideas or people will figure it out on their own. Okay, the Rambam in source number 4 in Hilchos Tumas Meis begins as follows. Hameis mitame b'maga u'b'masa u'b'ohel tum'a shiva. A corpse, says the Rambam, makes you tame for 7 days under 3 circumstances. Maga, touching, that's Pasuk Yud Aleph. Masa, carrying, that's not in any of the psukim that we've seen. Uba Ohel, if you're in an enclosed area, that's Pasuk Yud Aleph. Okay, so the Rambam says there are 3 circumstances under which you can become severely tamei. 2 of them are in the psukim. And then the Rambam says, it's not that I'm so smart, the Rambam says, Vitumas maga ve'ohel mefurashin batorah, right? The 2 forms, touching a corpse and being in a tent with a corpse, those are both written in the psukim, shenemar, the psukim we read, hanogea b'meis techol nefesh adam, if you touch a mace, v'tamei shivat yamim, that's pasuk yud aleph on top, and then pasuk yud dalet, v'nemar, kol haboel ha'ohel, v'chol asher ba'ohel, yitma shivas yamim. Okay, well, if that's the case, how do we know that you also become severely tamei for 7 days, b'masa? Masa, of course, is carrying. And almost certainly it means carrying the mace without touching him. The mace is in a body bag and you carry him. So you haven't touched the mace, but according to the Rambam and according to the Halacha, you still are Tomei mace. How do we know that? So the Rambam Halacha Bet says,
Is that the Rabbanim?
Hang on. The Rambam says in Halacha Bet, Tumat Masa Mipi Hashmua. We know that carrying a mace is mitameyu mipi hashmua. Now, mipi hashmua, these are very hard terms to translate, right? I think most people would say halach lemoshe misinai. In this case, it's going to be a kal v'chomer. How do I know? Because the Rambam says, v'kal v'chomer hadvarim. And the Rambam has a whole fancy kal v'chomer, which I deleted because it will distract us. The Rambam says, if you're metame tumas masa for an animal, and an animal is a lesser form of tuma, so of course you're metame tumas masa for a human corpse. Okay? And then the Rambam addresses Henry's issue, if that was Henry. He says, Ein tum asmasa b'meis midivrei sofrim ela din Torah. That's fascinating. The Rambam goes out of his way to tell us that tumas masa is not in a pasuk. Tumas maga, touching, is in a pasuk. Tumas ohel, being in an enclosed area, is in a pasuk. Tumas masa is not in a pasuk. Nevertheless, the Rambam says, but don't think that makes it a drabanan. It remains din Torah. So there's a whole world of discussion, and this isn't really our focus, but I feel the need to point it out because it's fascinating, whether the Rambam sees different levels even in deoraisas, right? Could it be that there's a difference between tumas maga and ohel, which is what we call mefurash bikra? It's described, you know, explicitly in a pasuk, as opposed to tumas masa, which is not in the pasuk. It's just learned from a kal v'chomer. On the one end, the Rambam says they're all three are din Torah, all three are midoraisa, but two of them are in a pasuk, and one of them is learned from a kal v'chomer. Okay, so without going into it too much, it's important to realize that we think shorthand, there's deoraisas, there's drabanan, there's minhagim. And broadly speaking, that's true. But it's also the case that within deoraisas, there are differences, perhaps based on whether it's mefurish bikra, it's literally an apostle or not. But when we talk about deoraisas, maybe we'll devote another shiur to this, because I really think it's a fascinating topic, whether there are differences between deoraisas. So for example, just to throw something out, normally we say, you know, an ase is docha, a los ase, if they're both deoraisa or they're both derabanan, but maybe that's limited. Maybe it's an ase that's written in a pasuk that's docha, a los ase, but an ase that's learned mi pi hashmua, halach lamosh mi sinai, yud gimel midos, maybe that's different. You know, an example of this is everybody knows that it's an iser deoraisa to eat meat and milk. But of course, there's no pasuk that says that. There are three psukim that say, lo sivashel gidi b'chalei vimo. Now, because there are three psukim, we learn out, you know, one is for achila, one is for bishul. What's the third one? Hana?
No.
Yeah. Okay. So it's deoraisa, but the limud is indirect. And it's important to realize that sometimes, even within deoraisas, there may be distinctions. But let's go back to our main focus. And that is, how in the world does the Rambam think that tumas meis constitutes a mitzvah saseh if you don't have to do anything and you're not prohibited from doing anything? So luckily for us, the Rambam defends his position, not in our mitzvah. Our mitzvah is 107. The Rambam dealt with it in 96, which is where most of the discussion takes place, because 96 is the first of a series of mitzvahs in the Rambam that deal with tuma. They don't deal with tumas meis, a human corpse, which kind of exists on its own, but they deal with all kinds of other tumos. So for example, I'll just give you a sense. 96 is if you touch a nevela, a dead animal, you become tame. 97 is if you touch one of the eight shratzim, you become tame. 98 is if you eat tame food, you become tame. 99 is nida. 100 is yoledes. 101 is mitzora. 102 is a beged that gets tsaras, and on and on. 94 is the Zav, 95 is Shechva Zera, a whole series of mitzvahs that the Rambam has that are just types of tumah, all of which he counts as mitzvot aseh. And the Rambam knew this would be controversial, so he actually writes a defense of his position in the Sefer HaMitzvos. It's unusual to see this in the Sefer HaMitzvos, but here it is. Source number 5, the Rambam in Mitzvat Aseh Tzadivav says, HaMitzvah Tzadivav 96, Hishet Sivano Lihiyot Kol Nogea B'Nevilat Tameh. The Rambam says the mitzvah is, if you touch a carcass, a dead animal, you become Tameh. And now the Rambam explains his position. Va'ani ezkor ata hakdama, says the Rambam, give you an introduction. Ra'ui shetizkor ota b'chol ma shenizkor mimeni hatumot. He said you should remember this each time I mention one of the tumos as a mitzvah. Vihi. Ki ze shenimna kol min v'min min hatumot mitzvat aseh. That which I count each different type of tumah as a mitzvat aseh, don't misunderstand me, says the Rambam. Ein inyano shenihya chayavim lehitameh bitumah hahi. Don't think that somehow you're obligated to become tameh. Velo gam kein shenihya anachnu muzharim mehitameh ba. And don't think that we're prohibited from becoming tameh. Vitihya mitzvat lo taseh. Says the Rambam basically, don't think it's an assay. Don't think it's lot assays. Well, so what's it doing here? Says the Rambam, va'amnam. However, heyot ha-Torah omeret, ki mi sheyiga b'zeh ha-min nitma, o zeh ha-davar yitma, al to'ar kach. When the Torah says, anybody who touches this type of species, or in our case, a human corpse, l'mi she-nagabo, hi mitzvat assay. When the Rambam says somebody who touches a human corpse is tameh, that constitutes for this person a mitzvat aseh. Vahahi tamah ba'atzmo rishut. The person himself has a choice. It's optional. Im ratza yitameh, v'im ratza lo yitameh. Right? You're invited to a funeral. You could decide to go inside. This is obviously talking about non-Kohanim. I should have pointed that at the beginning. Right? Kohanim are not allowed to be metame. That's a lo taseh. But for the rest of us, says the Rambam, if you go in, you'll become tame. If you don't go in, you won't. But the decision is yours. One second. The decision is yours. V'lashon sifra, he quotes the sifra, uvenivlasam lo tigau. Wait, the pasuk says don't touch a corpse. Yacholim naga adam binivelam. Sorry, an animal corpse. Could be that if you touch a corpse, yilake arbaim. Maybe you get makos. Talmud loma ula elat tamo. No, you're allowed to become tame. Yacholim ra adam nivela yelech vi tamalo. Maybe the opposite. You're supposed to become tame. Talmud loma uvinivat tamlo tigo. Ha ketzad have omer rishus. So the Rambam says, you're not obligated to touch the corpse. You're not obligated to run away from the corpse. It's your choice. The mitzvah is, if you choose to touch the corpse or to carry it or to be in the same enclosed area with it, the result is that you become tameh, and you becoming tameh gets counted in taryag mitzvahs. Somebody wanted to ask a question?
Yeah. According to the Rambam, is it a mitzvah to be mechabing the mace by being present? Is that a mitzvah, or is that not a chi of mitzvah? Because then you're
it's unrelated. It's unrelated. Your decision, you know, to carry the body or to come close to the body is completely up to you. I assume the Rambam would think that under certain circumstances, it's v'ahavta l'recha kamocha, it's gemilus chasadim, you know, it's honoring the mace. It's respecting the mourners, but that's unrelated. Okay, if you do, you know, maybe that's the reason to do it. But it's not, but what the mitzvah 107, Kuf Zayin, that we're dealing with is simply, if X, then Y. If you touch the body, if you carry the body, if you go inside in the closed area of the body, the result is that you are tameh. And that has implications. Primarily, you can't go to the Beis HaMikdash. But it's not a value statement. It's simply a result or a fact. Okay?
Because we mention in the davening in the morning, halbayat tamei.
No, but you could do halvayas tameis without becoming tame, right? You could do it with becoming tame, but if you walk outside, you know, after a body, you don't become tame, right? Uh-huh. It's just that's a form of kibud that doesn't make you tame. Okay. The Ramban completely disagrees with the Rambam. This is a famous machlokes. As we've mentioned before, the Ramban didn't write his own Sefer HaMitzvos, but he wrote Hasagot on the Rambam. Every time he disagrees, when the Rambam counts a mitzvah aseh, he writes a critique. And here's his critique on mitzvah aseh tzadivav, the one we just read. Says the Ramban, it's almost funny at the beginning. He says, Va'ani, we're in source number 6. Va'ani imkol arichut divrei harav. With all the Rambam's introduction that we just read in source number 5. And his introduction that he gave with respect to all types of tuma. Lo ra'iti lahavi din hatumot. Says the Ramban, I disagree with the Rambam. I see what he said. It's very lovely. I don't think we should count tumot as mitzvot aseh. V'cheshbon ha-mitzvot. Why? Says the Ramban, like we think. Lefi shehein rishut gemura. Mikol tzad, they are absolutely optional. Ein bahem inyan mitzvah shetimna. There is no mitzvah to do something or to refrain from doing something, which is what's going on in Tayag mitzvos. And he says the sifra that the Rambam quoted undermines his position. Lashon sifra shevi gam kein hu mivuar. Haketzad have omer rishut. So the Ramban's position is clear. The Ramban corresponds with what I think most of us have always thought. If you're a mitzvah aseh, there must be a circumstance under which you have to do something. If there's no circumstance under which you have to do something, it's very interesting. It's a halacha, but it's not a mitzvah, says the Ramban further. And the third line, Kevan shimnanu yit ale mebiat mikdash bitumah. It is in fact prohibited to go to the Beis HaMikdash when you're Tamei. Umeachilat HaKadshim. It's also prohibited to eat Kadshim when you're Tamei. So the Ramban, there are prohibitions relating to Tuma. Gam Kein, Vitziva Otan Lechol Dvarim B'Tahara. And we are commanded to eat certain things only when we're Tahar. He says there are mitzvahs. Kol Tahar B'Veit Chayochal Oto. Bierva Amar, Eilu Dvarim Tmeim. Ve'elu Einam Tmeim. Ve'ein b'sipurim ha'hein mitzvah, lo b'chlaleihem, v'lo b'fratehem b'shum panim. Says the Ramban, there are mitzvos relating to tuma. You can't go to the Beis HaMikdash when you're tameh. You can't eat kachim when you're tameh. You have to eat kachim b'tara. Now, the Torah then has to explain who's tameh. What's the definition of tameh so that I can know who's supposed to stay outside of the Beis HaMikdash? And who's allowed to go in? But they don't qualify as mitzvos. They're necessary information and or they're details in the more important prohibition of going in the Beis HaMikdash or eating kachim when you're tameh. Says the Ramban, v'zeka amarnu she'akravat balmum nimneit b'mitzvat lo taseh. Says the Ramban, that's why there's a prohibition on bringing a blemished animal, a balmum. That's a lo taseh in the Torah. V'nishar alein ladat eze davar heim hamumim v'lo nimne bahem minyan k'mamaro shel rabbi ikar shvi'i. Says the Ramban, it's a prohibition to bring a blemished animal as a karban. Now the Torah has to explain to us what are the blemishes that pasul, that invalidate a karban. But says the Ramban, we don't count each blemish as a mitzvah. The Rambam himself doesn't count each blemish as a mitzvah. And if that's the case, the Rambam shouldn't count each form of tumah as a mitzvah. Just like he does with respect to blemishes, where the Rambam says it's a mitzvah, it's a prohibition, it's a mitzvah lo taseh to bring a karm with a blemish. Now the Torah has to explain the 70 types of blemishes, but they don't get counted as mitzvos. Says the Ramban, similarly, there's no reason to count the various forms of tuma as mitzvos. The only mitzvah that gets counted is it's prohibited to go into the Beis HaMikdash when you're tameh. Everybody with me? Right? That's a foundational machlokes with respect to the definition of Taryag mitzvos. The Ramban's definition seems very similar to the one we all grew up with, which is a mitzvat aseh is I have to do something. A mitzvat lo taseh is I have to refrain from doing something. And if I do it, I'm violating a mitzvah. For the Rambam, it's a different approach. For the Rambam, there's a whole category of mitzvos that are not do's and don'ts. They're simply halachic facts. They're halachic facts that we would not know were it not for the fact that the Torah told us. Now, the Ramban in the last two lines.
Eli, can you expand on that? Because that's a loaded statement.
That's not so loaded. I'll expand in a minute. Let's just finish this idea. The Ramban in the last two lines expands his disagreement with the Rambam to another mitzvah that we probably wouldn't have thought of. Says the Ramban, V'chein ye'ra'eh b'mitzvah shehikdim la'elu. Says the Ramban, similarly, I disagree with not just mitzvah to say 96, I disagree with 95. V'hi hafarat ha'nedarim. That is, we call it hataras nedarim. There are two different forms. That is invalidating a vow. Says the Ramban, shelo timna. You don't count that in the Taryag mitzvos. Why not? Lefi shehi shlilut. It's just a negation. Shenitztavinu la'asot kichol hayotze mipinu. We are commanded to keep our word when we make when we take an oath. V'shalo nachel dvarin. We're not allowed to violate it. Rak al pi bezdin. O ha'av, o habal. If you take an oath, the Torah says you have to keep it. And here are some ways that you can get out of it. Right? The Baal can be Mayfair Nedarim for his wife. Bezdin can do it. But says the Ramban, that's not a mitzvah. The mitzvah is to keep your word. Right? So I took an oath to not eat dairy anymore. Why? Because the doctor told me that I'm allergic to dairy. And if I eat dairy, you know, God forbid, something terrible is going to happen. So I take a neder, I take a shvua that I'm not going to eat dairy. Okay, then it turns out it's a misdiagnosis. So you go to Bezdin. And Bezdin says, well, if that's the reason why you took the shvua, because you thought that you were allergic, we'll be made for the shvua. The Rambam thinks that's a mitzvah. The Ramban says, what in the world would make that a mitzvah? It doesn't make any sense. It's just a way to get out of a neder. Okay? So the Ramban expands his attack on the Rambam, not just to what we would call halachic facts, but to even actions that he thinks are not commanded to do and which we're not commanded to refrain from doing, like hafaras nedarim. Again, the Ramban's not against hafaras nedarim. The Ramban, I assume, also did hataras nedarim, you know, on Erev Rosh Hashanah. It's just, the Ramban didn't think he was doing a mitzvah. He just thought he was helping people get out of their nedarim. For the Rambam, it's a mitzvah. Okay. Related point. The Sefer HaChinuch, it's worth pointing out the following. The Sefer HaChinuch, in his introduction, says, I'm going to copy my list of mitzvahs from the Rambam. And for 612 out of 613 mitzvos, and don't ask me the other one, I just forgot it, he copies the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvos, which, by the way, when you hear somebody say, most Monei HaMitzvos, you know, count X as a mitzvah, and they say the Rambam and the Chinuch, it's a meaningless point, because the Chinuch just copied the Rambam. So you can't really say, oh, the Chinuch also thinks this is a mitzvah, because he just copies the Rambam. But occasionally the Chinuch says, I'm copying the Rambam, but I got to tell you, I don't agree. And our mitzvah is one of them. The Sefer HaChinuch says in this week's Parsha, in his mitzvah Shin Tzadi Ches, which is called Mitzvat Tumah Shalmeis, just like the Rambam. Now immediately, that you could see the Sefer HaChinuch is trying to save the Rambam. He says, Shenitztavinu lihitnaheg bi'inyan tumat hameis. he says it's a mitzvah to behave or to act in a particular way with respect to Tumas Meis. Right? The Rambam didn't say that. The Rambam says there's a mitzvah of Tumas Meis. But the sense I have is that the Chinuch wants to at least try to rehabilitate the Rambam by saying it's not just a mitzvah, you know, that there is such a thing as Tumas Meis. I think what he's saying is, no, there's a mitzvah to behave in a certain way, right? Which makes it more of an action-based mitzvah. Kimoshe tzivta otanu hatara alav shenemar zos hatara adam ki amus ba'ol kol abo al oel v'chol asher ba'ol yitma shivas yamim. Just as a side point, the Sefer HaChinuch quotes the pasuk of the pasuk later on that we read in source number one of ki yamut ba'ohel. He quotes Tumas Ohel. The Rambam quoted Tumas Maga. I don't know why, but they quote two different psukim. But then the Chinuch says the more important part. Ubiseder vayhi bayom hashmini asei dalet simon kufnun beis tirek katuv gamkein ki haramban zal yachlok al harambam zal shelo lachshov kol dinei hatumot becheshbon hamitzvot v'nimu ko imo. Says the Chinuch, yeah, the Ramban is right. I think the Ramban makes the better arguments that Tumas Meis should not be counted as a mitzvah, even though the Rambam counts it. And here's a good example. The Chinuch, quote-unquote, counts Tumas Meis, not because he thinks it's right, but simply because he copies the Rambam. Okay? Now, a question that people ask, and it's an interesting one, is if the Chinuch was so against the Rambam's idea of including halachic conclusions, why didn't he mention it with respect to hafaras nedarim? The Chinuch counts hafaras nedarim without mentioning the fact that in theory he should be against it, just like he's against Tumas Meis. Here's the Rambam on hafaras nedarim in source number 8. It's mitzvat atzei tzadi hei. Again, interesting to note, we've said this before, nobody knows exactly the order of the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvos, but it's clearly done by theme. And it's not a mistake that 95 is Hafaras Nedarim, and 96 and after are all forms of Tuma. It means the Rambam saw them all as belonging to the same category of what we're calling halachic facts, even though they don't obligate you and they don't prohibit you in any way. Let's read what the Rambam says. We are commanded to deal with hafarat nedarim, kilomar, hatorah shehorunu ladun bidinim haheim. We are commanded by the Torah to deal with problem vows. Ve'ein ha'inyan shenitchayev lahafer al kol panim. Right, says the Rambam, it doesn't mean you have to run around being matir neder. V'zeha inyan ba'atzmo havein mimeni kol zman shetishma'ini moded din echad min hadinim. Says the Rambam, when you see me count something in the Targum Mitzvos, don't think it means you have to do it. Ki ein tzivui bepe'ula min ha'pe'ulot behechreach. It's not a command that we're obligated to do something. So everybody's thinking, and we'll come back to the sheet in a second. So everybody's thinking this sounds crazy. But it only sounds crazy because these are the mitzvos that we don't think about. But there are plenty of mitzvos that we know are conditional slash not obligatory. What's the most famous one? The
Divorce.
Most famous, well, it's not fair when I say what's the most famous. The one I think of is Gerushin. Everybody counts divorce in Tariag mitzvos. Huh?
Okay. I said divorce.
Okay. You get extra credit. Nobody wants to get divorced. So what's the din? The din is, if you want to get divorced, this is the way to do it. And interestingly, right, if you get divorced, I do not believe that I, God willing, I'm being, you know, now or in the future, I'm being mevatel the mitzvah of gerushin by not getting divorced. Just like yesterday I drove past a cow. Okay, I'll admit the following. I did not jump out of my car and shecht it. There's a mitzvah of shechita, No, it's not obligatory. You're not supposed to go around shechting animals, just like you're not supposed to go around divorcing women. If you want to have a steak, then the way to get a steak is to slaughter an animal. And if you eat a steak without slaughtering it, if you eat in the vela, so you are also mevatel the mitzvah saseh of shechita. And if you divorce your wife not through a sefer krisus as set up by the Torah, so then you're probably mevatel the mitzvah saseh of gerushin. Oh, and by the way, your wife is not divorced. So we have this category of mitzvahs. So says the Rambam, it's the same thing with hafaras nedarim. If you weren't made for the neder, you know, if you were made for the neder, you got a mitzvah saseh. By the way, that's why I try to, you know, like on Erev Rosh Hashanah, nobody wants to be one of the three guys who sits. You just want to stand up and say your piece and then leave. But according to the Rambam, if you do it right, one of the three guys who sit, that's a kiyum mitzvah saseh. So keep that in mind. Of course, if you mess it up, I guess that's a bitul mitzvah saseh. Maybe that's a reason not to do it. But be that as it may, there are other mitzvos of this type that we know of. The Ramban's attacks on the Rambam are strong, but there are other instances. Now, one of the ways to distinguish is to say those other instances have actions associated with them. This, I believe, is pshat in the Sefer HaChinuch. The Sefer HaChinuch is willing to count as a mitzvah saseh something that's not obligatory so long as there's an action. So hafaras nedarim is an action, right? Shechita is an action. Gerushin is an action. These have what you would call a maisa hamitzvah associated with them. So if there's a maisa hamitzvah, I think the Chinuch and the Ramban would say, even though it's not obligatory, and even though not, you know, if you don't do it, you're not violating anything, it counts as a mitzvah because there's an action. But in the case of Tumah, there's no action at all. All the Rambam says is, if you touch a dead animal, if you touch a human corpse, you are Tameh, and that constitutes a mitzvah. So let's look at the last source, which is part of the question that the Ramban asked on the Rambam. And now we'll make some points. This is Shoresh Zayin, the seventh Shoresh in the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvos. As we've mentioned before, there are 14 principles that the Rambam lists that are the rules for whether something counts as a mitzvah or not. And here the Rambam says, She'ein ra'ui limnot dikdukei ha-mitzvah. You do not count details of a mitzvah as a mitzvah. Okay, what the most famous example, again, it's not fair for me to say the most famous, but, you know, Dalet Minim is, of course, only one mitzvah. Now, it has four details. You need a lulav, an esrog, hadasim, and aravos. But we don't count each of those four as an independent mitzvah. It's one mitzvah. And now the Rambam gives the example that the Ramban uses against him. He says, "Vizeh kimo amarnu ki hakravat baal mum muzhar mimenu, v'hi mitzvat lo ta'aseh." The Rambam says it's exactly the same as we said with respect to blemished animals, that if you're makriv a baal mum on the mizbeach, you're in violation of a Torah law. It's a lo ta'aseh. Now, nishar aleinu ladat Mahem hamumim. So what does that leave us with? I understand if I brought a carbon with a mum, I'm in violation of mitzvah lo saseh. So the Torah has to tell me, what are the mumim? Otherwise, how would I know? Hitra esha nimnek kol mumumum mitzvah. But says the Rambam, you think we would count every mum as a mitzvah? Im hayazeh kach, if that were the case, haya olem minyanam karov l'shiv im mum. Says the Rambam, there would be 70 types of mumim. There would be 70 mitzvos in the Torah related to mum. So it doesn't get counted. Again, what's counted? What's counted is the mitzvah lo taseh of bringing a carbon with a mum on the mizbeach. Now, how do I know what a mum is? Well, the Torah tells me, but I don't count those mumim. They're just a fact that helps me understand the prohibition. So says the Ramban, wait, if you say that with respect to mumim, you should say that with respect to tumos as well. You're not allowed to go into the Beis HaMikdash if you're tameh. You're not allowed to eat kachim if you're tameh. Now, How do I know what Tumah is? Okay, so here are all the examples of Tumah. But the Rambam shouldn't count them as mitzvos. And yet he does. So what's the answer? The answer is what I started to describe before, but I'll try to explain more fully now. The Rambam thinks that when the Torah makes up a fact, when the Torah makes up a halachic fact that's not based in reality, again, I don't mean that in a disparaging way, God forbid. It's not reflected in nature, in the world, that constitutes one of the Taryag mitzvos. Now, we have to just change it, right? The Rav once said this. He said, for the Rambam, they're not Taryag mitzvos, they're Taryag inyanim. They're Taryag chidushim. There are 613 ideas that the Torah introduces that we wouldn't know otherwise. So if the Torah said, you know, that if I let go of this, it's a phone. If I let go, this is going to fall. That's not a mitzvah. That's called gravity. That's how the world works. Anybody could figure out the rule of gravity on their own. But when the Torah, there's no MRI, there's no X-ray, there's no CAT scan that can reveal tumah. There's no Geiger counter. It's not real. For the Rambam, it doesn't exist in nature. And so when the Torah says, if you touch a dead body, you become Tameh. If you touch a Zav, a Yoledes, a Sheretz, a dead animal, you become Tameh. Each one of those, says the Rambam, is a Chiddush HaTorah. It's something that's not reflected in nature. Therefore, it gets counted in Taryag Mitzvos. Why is a mum, why is a blemished animal not counted in Taryag Mitzvos? It's obvious. A blemish is a real thing. Gentiles can see blemishes. Yeah, the Torah has to tell us what's a halachic blemish, but it's not a Chiddush HaTorah. That's, in fact, that's just a detail. That's the thing that tells us, one second, that's the thing that tells us what's a blemish. But nobody could discern tumah, right? Even if you're a person who's creeped out, you touched a corpse, I would be creeped out. You go home, let's say you have germs on you. You go home, you take a shower, you use soap. It's off you, but you're still tameh, which introduces, I think, this whole fascinating category of mitzvahs in the Rambam that speak to a form of belief in the halachic process, right? Nobody's surprised that belief in God is in Taryag Mitzvahs, and that fear of God, all these emotions and beliefs are in Taryag Mitzvahs. We accept that. I think the Rambam is saying there's another category, that belief in God isn't enough. Belief in God's Torah, belief in halacha, is part of Taryag Mitzvahs, and it's seen in the series of mitzvos that have nothing to do with pros or cons or do's or don'ts. They're simply, if X, then Y. The belief that the Torah can create a reality that's not reflected in nature, that's not reflected in the reality that we live in, or said a different way, our willingness to live in a halachic world where halachic reality defines us, where a hammer is muktzah on Shabbos, but a hammer that you set aside before Shabbos because you want to crack a coconut is not muktzah on Shabbos. That creation of a halachic reality is a section of Taryag Mitzvos. So for the Rambam, Taryag Mitzvos is not 613 acts that we're obligated to do, not even 613 acts that we're sometimes obligated to do or that we're conditionally obligated to do. It includes a whole bunch of things that we're never obligated to do and we're never prohibited from doing. But when we treat the thing as being tamei, we're accepting a halachic reality that doesn't exist in nature. And that itself is a mitzvah. When you treat somebody as tamei, even though it's not reflected in any way in the world that we live in, you are mekayim a mitzvah ase min haTorah of if X, if you touch a corpse, then Y, you're tahar, right? It's not the type of mitzvah that we're used to, but it's, and the Ramban doesn't think it exists. But for the Rambam, I think it's really significant that viewing the world through a halachic lens and acting based on halachos, even though they're invisible and they're not reflected in the world that we live in, each time you do that, the Rambam would say, that's a mitzvah saseh. Again, I think it's a fascinating area of halacha that we don't focus on enough, but I think this week's parsha is a good time and a good place to focus on it with respect to Para Aduma, with respect to Chukim, where we don't understand things. You're right. Sometimes we don't understand, but when we accept, it's not just a kium in our belief in God. It's an isolated, or it's an individual mitzvah of belief that for whatever reason, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, if X, then Y. That's all I got. Shabbat shalom.